Pesach Seder is one of the most recognizable and observed rules throughout the Jewish year. And there's certainly no shortage of Haggadot and no shortage of Divrei Torah on the Pesach Seder and the Haggadah. In this brief podcast, we will share three different ideas and insights that will hopefully frame and introduce the holiday of Pesach, as well as get us started on the learning of the Haggadah. First, an introductory idea about the holiday itself, going to the heart, in fact, of the name of the holiday. When you think about it, there's actually something odd and somewhat inconsistent. On the one hand, we always refer to the holiday as the Chag HaPesach. It's Pesach. However, in the Torah itself, that's not the term that's used for the holiday, but rather the term that's used is Chag HaMatzos, the holiday of the Matzos. The great Hasidic sage Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev points out that it's not a coincidence that it's these two names, which are respectively one in the Torah, the other by the Jewish people. We refer to the holiday as Pesach because the name Pesach alludes to when Hashem passed over the houses of the Jews on the night of Makas Bechoros and spared the lives of the firstborns in our families, and instead only killed the firstborns of the Egyptians. By choosing to call the holiday Pesach, we as a nation are highlighting a great act of chesed that Hashem did for us. On the other hand, the Torah refers to the holiday as the Chag HaMatzos, which alludes to the fact that we, the Jewish people, showed enough trust and faith in Hashem that when the time came, we ran out of Mitzrayim, no questions asked, and with such haste that our bread did not have time to rise, and as a result, we were left with this unleavened flat bread that we know as matzah. So by the Torah calling the holiday Chag HaMatzot, it's highlighting the faith that we had, the trust that we had in Hashem. So in other words, points out Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, the Jewish people choose a name which highlights the greatness and kindness of Hashem towards us, but Hashem in the Torah choose a name that highlights the commitment and loyalty that we demonstrated. Aside from this fascinating insight, I think it's clear that this message that Rav Levi Yitzchak is trying to bring our attention to is that an essential ingredient of the Chag HaPesach in general, and specifically at the Leil HaSeder, the Seder night, is that it's not just about recounting and retelling what happened when we left Egypt, Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, but if we truly and genuinely appreciate the events that we are retelling and recounting, so that should come with a certain sense of appreciation and a sense of looking out for what's best. The relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem as a nation was created. The birth of the nation took place with Yetziat Mitzrayim and eventually Kriyat Yam Suf. And in any true loving relationship, each side is looking out not only for the best of the other, but always looking to highlight what is good in the other. Looking for the good in the other. Hashem is always looking for the good in us, and we, reciprocating, are always looking for the good in Hashem. And that's one insight that gets to the heart of the holiday itself and the name. Of course, the first part of the Seder night in the Haggadah is Kaddish. We say Kiddush, and as we know, this is not only Kiddush, but it also serves as the first of the four cups. And not only is that the case, but this is the first of a number of fours, which we know are at the center of the Haggadah and Seder experience. Not only the four cups, but the four questions, the four sons. And the question is why, at the Seder of all times, is the number four given such prominence? There's an insight that is attributed in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Explains the centrality of the number four as follows. There is a well-known mitzvah, which is taught to us in Masechet Brachos, known as the Birkas HaGomel. Right? We say a certain bracha, we thank Hashem, when our lives have been spared. And even though generally or often nowadays we have certain ways or times that require us to fulfill this mitzvah, to make this bracha. But in fact, if one looks in the Mishnah and the Gemara, there are specific mentions, specific categories. Four in particular. One is if a person recovers from a life-threatening situation. Number two is an illness, for example. Number two is if someone is freed from jail. Number three, someone is saved, successfully navigating a sea voyage. And finally, number four, if somebody successfully and safely crosses the desert. Anytime we would say Birkat HaGomel that doesn't explicitly fit into one of these categories, nevertheless, it means that it's been understood by our more contemporary poskim of nevertheless corresponding to one of these four, because the din is clear in the Gemara that it is these four categories which generate the obligation to say thank you, a Birkat HaGomel. Said the Vilna Gaon, the reason that four has such a prominence in the Seder night, in the Haggadah, is because in fact, in a sense, if you think about it, when we went out of Egypt and eventually were saved and brought through the four Lashonot of Geula, the four things that Hashem eventually did for us, they actually correspond, in a sense, to these four categories of people who have to say the Birkat HaGomel. Number one, recovering from a potentially life-threatening illness. Think about the situation of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. Slaves, deprived, tortured, undoubtedly terrible, barely livable living conditions, presumably all sorts of death, disease rampant. By freeing us, Hashem helped us emerge from this potential category of danger, number one. Number two, we were in a very real sense freed from jail. Not every jail has to have bars on it. The enslavement that we experienced in Egypt was certainly no less than any jail that we could think of, and we were freed from that. Number three, very clearly, being saved from the sea, the dramatic success of the Kriyat Yamsuf. And finally, number four, crossing the desert. Where did we go from Egypt? Into the desert, which, as we know, itself is a very precarious and dangerous place, and yet Hashem miraculously, through the cloud and the pillar of fire, through the mun, through the Sukkot, which we celebrate on the holiday of Sukkot, Hashem miraculously took care of all of our needs, kept us safe, kept us clothed, kept us fed all the time we were in the desert. And therefore, when we think about Yetziat Mitzrayim and everything that we want to thank Hashem for, the number four certainly is appropriate because it highlights that all of these categories that we generally, even to this very day, would say a Birkat HaGomel for, in fact, all of them were included in the way Hashem saved us in Yetziat Mitzrayim. And therefore, not only these four cups, but every number four in the Seder is an allusion to how much, how overwhelmingly and comprehensively we owe a debt of gratitude to Hashem. It's not just Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, it's thank you. It's thank you to Hashem. It's the ultimate Birkas HaGomel, and therefore the number four plays such a prominent role. Lastly, I wanted to mention an idea which comes next after Kadesh. We have Orchatz, which, as we know, we wash without a bracha. Why do we wash without a bracha? So the common understanding is because this is an anticipation of Orchatz. In Orchatz, we will take a vegetable and dip it in water. And this harkens back to laws which are somewhat esoteric to many of us, the laws of ritual purity and impurity, the halachos of Tumah and Tara. Succinctly, the halacha is that something must be ro'i, a kabbal tumah, it can has to be susceptible to becoming tameh. If something is not susceptible, then even if it comes in contact with a tameh source, it won't become impure itself. What makes something susceptible? So the answer is, if it is comes in contact initially, if it's previously touched by a certain designated liquid. Water, for example, is one of those liquids. And therefore, since we're about to dip the karpas in the salt water, we are taking a vegetable, and now when we dip it in the salt water, it will now be ro'i l'kabel tumah. Therefore, before we do that, we wash our hands so that just in case our hands had been tameh, we wash away that tameh, make sure our hands are tahor, are pure, before we touch the vegetable that we are going to dip so as to avoid contracting and spreading any tumah to the vegetable. That's the, not, I wouldn't call it simple, somewhat complicated, but the standard explanation of Orchatz. Rav Kook asked a very basic question. This seems a nice idea, perhaps, but it doesn't seem to have any inherent connection to Leil HaSeder, to the Seder night, or to the Haggadah, or even to Pesach. We aren't generally not careful with this halacha anymore, in the environment which we live in, which generally our commitment to, or our observance of Tum and Tara is more lax, as we all know. So, if we're not going to be careful about something like this all year round, why, of all nights of the year, should we be careful about it on the night of the Seder? So Rav Kook explained quite beautifully that while it's true that on the surface there's no connection between being careful about Tumah and Tara and the Pesach experience or Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, nevertheless on a deeper level there's a direct connection. And that is because what we got at the Seder on the night of Yetziat Mitzrayim, what we're celebrating through the Haggadah and the Seder, is freedom. One of the signatures of a free man, something that distinguishes from a slave, is that a free man has the power and the ability to dream, to imagine a better future for him or herself or family. A slave just goes day in and day out doing whatever he or she has to do, but they know there's no hope for a better future, and therefore there's no reason to dream. It'll just frustrate the person. One of the signatures of a free person is that he or she can dream, whatever situation they're in, but they can dream of something even better. The freedom, the chirus, which we got on the night of the Yetziat Mitzrayim, which we celebrate at the Seder and through the Haggadah, its signature is freedom, and part of freedom is that we can dream, we can think about things. Therefore, said Rav Kook, even though unfortunately, as we may be sitting down to the Seder, we're still in our homes, or wherever we may be for the holiday, and even if we're in Israel, we're not in Yerushalayim HaBnuyah, we're not in the Beis HaMikdash, we're not with the Karban Pesach. Nevertheless, said Rav Kook, on the night of Yetziat Mitzrayim, Leil Pesach and the Leil HaSeder, we dream. We dream of a future even better than we have today. We dream of a future when we in fact have a Karban Pesach, when we have a Beis HaMikdash, when the laws of Tumah and Tahara won't be something that's merely esoteric or something that we study in the Chumash or in the Mishnayos, but in fact, when Tumah and Tahara becomes a part of our everyday life, as it once was, as we hope will come again soon. That dreaming, that ability to see a future, to dream of something even greater than we have now, that is something which we can only do because we're free, and we're free because of what happened on the Seder night. And therefore, it's Davka, specifically on Leil HaSeder, which we have this practice of Urchatz, even though, again, on the surface, it's not connected to the events of Yetziat Mitzrayim, but it's inherently connected to the result of Yetziat Mitzrayim. We were freed, we became free, and now we can dream, not only of things in our close and imminent future, but hopefully something of our grand, ultimate future, of Beis HaMikdash, Karban Pesach, and all the laws that come with that. So these are the three ideas that we've shared. One is an introduction, why the holiday is referred to as Pesach, if the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzos. What's the centrality of the number 4, connecting to Berachat HaGomel? And finally, Urchatz, why we're all of a sudden, specifically on the night of the Seder of all nights, worried about the Tumah on our hands. I hope you've enjoyed these Divrei Torah, and I look forward to sharing another podcast next week. Thank you so much. Chag Sameach.